At the end of this week's podcast, got a fun interview with a really crazy dude. We love Brantley Gilbert so much, and he's got, obviously, the worst country song of all time. It's actually the name of the song, and we'll talk to him about that coming up right after the closing jingle of this week's podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Can I show something off for a moment here? Are you done? Wow, that was actually
a
pretty
really
good
holding
hold.
That one.
The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I got a mug, D. Look how cool.
Oh, yeah, Roswell.
Cocopelli and an nice alien mashup. That's the best. Thank you, Melody. You rock.
Thanks, Melody. That's awesome.
Man. We always get the coolest things.
And I got some birthday gifts. My birthday is next weekend. And,
that's right. I forget that.
Yeah, next week, Friday. So you
halfway
know,
through the year.
Marianne sent me a bunch of cool stuff for the fire pit that I built out in the backyard. So,
by the way, are you using your fire pit?
I
mean, even in the heat in the summer and all that?
Using the heck out of it, man.
Good.
Yep, we are. We're all in on the fire pit.
Good. Patrick, do you have a fire pit?
I do not. No,
you
I don't.
Fire pit. Mm-hmm. Do you have a fireplace?
I have a gas fireplace, but I don't even know how to turn it on.
What?
I don't. We tried to figure out, and I was like, you know what? This feels like a thing where I blow up the house. So I'm just not gonna...
Yeah, we have a gas one, too, and ours has a little flip switch because mm-hmm. we're super fancy. But on the floor, you adjust the gas to come on and all that stuff. And I'd flip it on, nothing. And you kind of smell the gas, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, I'm just going to light it. And they're like, oh, wait a second. That's going to be a lot of gas in the room.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to mess with this.
You need to get a mixture
thing
to monitor, see how much gas you got in there, because it can be too rich and it might not light, which is good.
This isn't really necessarily good for the podcast, but I keep meaning to remind you, because some people told you about ozone machines?
Yeah.
Okay. An important thing to tell you about ozone machines is if you use it in your house, you can't be there. Like, you can't breathe the stuff.
Right.
I don't know if whoever... Because I was only kind of half listening when that was
going
on.
Yeah, okay.
The other thing is, you have to, if you have gas, you have to turn it off. You can't have the pilot light in there because, I don't know, because it's flammable.
What's that?
I don't have a pilot light.
Not even for your water heater? You have the electric heater?
It's in the garage.
Where's the car?
I don't know, but we did ozone in our house, and then we had to have someone come in and turn off all the gas, everything, the furnace,
I'm not using it in the house.
Said, I think you were after the show. You were telling Bubba, you're like, yeah, I'll lend it to you, and then you can use it.
Yeah,
in
see,
the,
I didn't
yeah,
know this
but
stuff.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, because okay, so let's kind of give a little backstory, because a lot of people, if you're listening to exclusively the podcast, you have no idea. By the way, we need one more subscriber to hit an even number, and that would really be nice. If you're watching this right now, please subscribe and hit the little bell so we can get to an even number. We're at 20,999 right now on YouTube, and I just would like to see 21. But anyway, yeah, so we were talking about the stinky stuff from Gunner's baseball equipment in the back of his car, and it's making his whole car stink up.
Yeah.
And I kind of have the same problem whenever it comes to my fire gear, because as a volunteer firefighter, you have to be able to have your stuff with you at all times. Well, the bad thing is it stinks. We sweat a lot. I mean, imagine walking around 35 degrees more than normal. Imagine the weather today, 35 degrees hotter. That's how it is for firefighters just by default, before you even go into anything hot. The gear just stinks. It's very rank and rancid and horrible smelling, even though you wash it all the time. And looking for a solution to get the smell out of the cars. And people said the ozone machine, and Big D went and bought one.
Yeah, I got the Innerzen.
Is that the brand name?
Innerzen, yeah, is the name of it. It says ozone, when inhaled, can damage the lungs. Relatively low amounts can cause chest pain, coughing, shortness of breath, throat irritation.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick, you pretty much have all of those already, so I don't know.
Yeah, but it'll make them worse, man.
Ozone may also worsen chronic respiratory diseases such as asthma and compromise the ability of the body to fight respiratory infections. This is from the EPA, for what it's worth.
So if you're going to put it in a car, how long are you supposed to leave it
in
the vehicle?
Here's you put it in the car for as long as you want, but they have timers. Mine has a timer on it that'll go for like an hour and a half, I think is the most. And so, what's 180 minutes?
3 hours.
Oh, that seems like a long time. Yeah, I think I have a 180-minute thing on there.
So you put it on for 180 minutes,
I put it on for 45 minutes and I shut the door. This is in the rental car that I have because my car got hit. The rental car smelled like smoke, cigarette smoke. So yesterday I closed all the doors, put it on the center console, cranked it up for 45 minutes or so, shut all the doors, all the windows, and it goes through and is doing its thing, whatever ozone does.
Damn, I don't know.
And then, I mean, you can smell it. As soon as you turn it on, it's like powerful.
So does it ozonate stuff?
It ozonates things, Bubba. And then after 45 minutes, I open the door, started the car, started the air conditioner, and I let it go for about 15, 20 minutes. That way it gets all, and I turned on the inside recirculate function. Mm-hmm. That way it gets all the way into the guts of the AC unit, the vents and tubes and all that kind of thing. And it made it, and then I got it out, shut the doors, and just let it sit there till this morning. I got up, come to work, and it was fine.
Smelled good?
Smelled good.
I wonder how long that lasts. Like if you ozonate something, and that is a word now. I've officially adopted that as a real word. If you ozonate something and let it go, how long will it keep the smell that you're trying to get out? Or does it freshen it forever?
I'm reading about it now. I don't really know. It's an effective method to clean indoor air pollution and odors. I don't really know what it is.
If you're doing it in your house.
Ozone generator is a device designed to produce the gas ozone. It's used effectively in water purification, but ozone in air must reach high levels to remove air pollutants. Health experts warn that it's important to control conditions to ensure no person or pet becomes exposed, blah, blah, blah. Further, ozone is not effective for killing bacteria or mold, so it's not doing that. I'm really not sure what it does.
Well, it just makes it smell fresh?
Yeah, it takes the stank out of the air. Like the car, there's no smoke smell in the car anymore.
But how
really
long will that last?
With That's smoke what I smell. Like my buddy Neil works for, I can't remember the company, but they go in and they refurbish houses after water or smoke or fire damage.
And they use them?
And they use ozone machines to get rid of the smell when everything else is done. You know, you got to get rid of mold if there's water. You got to get rid of the mold. That doesn't always get rid of that
smell.
That, and with smoke, you know, once you've gotten rid of everything, the smoke still, it just lives in things. So my house, the reason I'm even familiar with it, we bought a house from a guy who smoked like an actual chimney. And it was insane. Like everything in the house was just covered in it. And so we replaced all the carpets. We painted every wall. We cleaned every surface. And then there's still, when it would be hot outside, you'd still go, y'all smell that?
That's his ghost. That's what that is.
Yeah, you know, it might be. But we had him come and put an ozone machine in. And it was a big one, and it ran for 24 hours. We had to be out of the house.
And it got it all out.
Yeah, I mean, there's still times. Sometimes there's still times where
I need this,
I'll go, what is that? But it's only in, like, we're still finding places where nicotine is stuck to stuff. It's unbelievable.
That's so lovely.
But, I mean, we cleaned everything we can see, and we cleaned everything we can think of. But every now and then you're like, oh, the top of the doors upstairs, and you wipe them down and go, oh, it's freaking, it's got that yellowy stuff on it.
Really?
Yeah. It was smoke. Don't smoke in your house.
So what you're saying is
don't
if you're don't smoke in your house, number one. But number two, if you're going to buy a house, don't buy one that was previously smoked in
because because the family of this guy knew that he smoked in it, and they thought there's nothing they could do to get rid of it. So I got
Well, we're talking about
buy
the
my
air.
House again.
when we're talking on the air, we talked about a guy who called and said that that's what they use when they have dead bodies. It's like he cleans up dead bodies. He called that a weird. It was like environmental service something. But
they'll take care of animals, bodies,
dead bodies. Yeah, all kinds of crazy said that's stuff. What they use. And it gets out that dead body smell.
Those people make money.
Remember the guy we met in Laredo, at the breakfast?
Yes, he basically cleaned up crime scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, think of the worst of the worst, and he would go in with his hazmat suit and his massive cleaners and whatever stuff, and he would take care of it, and he made bank.
Yeah, I watched a video on a guy who does that. He's in England, and he said he got started in it because they're like, hey, somebody was a hoarder, their aunt or grandmother or something, and she died and said, hey, you know, we're looking for someone to go in and clean her house out. And he goes, we were like 20 years old and we needed money. And so we just went in there and did it, and it was gross and found a bunch of gross stuff, but cleaned it, you know,
animals,
whatever.
Mice, rats.
Yeah, droppings and that kind of thing, and said that word of mouth, they just started getting more and more people wanting to do it. And then he went and got, there is some sort of a certification you can get. So then he got to do it for the police department. And once that happened, then it just got bigger and bigger. He added more teams. And, but he was telling me about, it was a video. And so
Stacy does it. My wife does that. She'll be watching.
He was like, talking to me.
She'll be watching an Instagram video. I'm like, who's that? She'll go, that's my friend. I'm like, your friend.
It's my friend that talks to me when no one else will. He's told me that they asked him, what's the worst one you've ever had to go into? He said, well, the worst one, I don't even know if I should even say it on the.
There's some bad stuff.
I kind of want to call my buddy and ask him what's the worst mess he ever had to clean up.
He said that. They could open the front door, and there was the classic hoarder path. You know, they have a pathway through.
Yeah.
And they're about shoulder height, so they can kind of.
I told you about that, didn't I? Or did he tell you that?
It's on there too. You did too, though.
Yeah, that's with the fire department. We have the same thing. They always have a path, shoulder height, so they can wobble through it and press down on things. It's the craziest thing.
And so, anyway. He said they got into the house and there was a crime scene, and he said all of it was bad. And
the dogs were eating
on them.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we're already this far, Bubba. Why would we skip over?
Like, that's what I said.
It's like we're at the edge of the Grand Canyon. You go, okay, don't look. I mean, we're already there.
Yeah. So that's why I asked if they had pets.
Yeah, I got this. So they're eating the guy up.
I didn't need the word eating. That was implied.
Nibbled on the guy, and then he told me that the tub was full of feces.
Aww.
They had been going to the bathroom in the tub.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And they said it was just stuff everywhere.
You just burn the house down at that point? Like control
burn?
No,
that's called arson.
That's what they did. They tore it down. They had to tear the whole thing down.
Mm, I'm not saying arson. I'm saying control burn. Everyone agrees this is a good idea.
So he was in there and he was, you know, decomposed, and he was going through, went through the mattress and was going into the floor and into the basements, going down the walls and stuff. All right, everyone, have a good weekend.
All right.
Okay, happy Father's Day. Bye-bye.
Everybody checked out.
There is no one watching your YouTube video right now. And I don't blame them. Who can blame them? Yeah, so my point is.
It's terrible, man. You break the window to get into the home. To go and do some checks on people. And you know, as soon as you pop the window, as soon as you get the waft and you're like, we know what we got.
Mm-mm.
It's the worst.
No ozone generator machine is going to fix that. Nothing. It's going to take the touch of fire.
How did this take such a dark
turn? We're talking
about
Gunner's stinky baseball gear in his car. So he when he gets in town in a couple of days, I'm going to put it in the trunk. Just let it sit there, man. It's
with
in
his gear in there, right?
Should I?
Yes. Yes, do it with his gear in there, too, so it can ozonate his gear.
Well, his gear needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, so clean the gear and then put it in there and double it. Make it doubly clean.
Or you can ozonate it
and then clean it.
I pull the gear out. He washes his gear. While the gear's washing, it's getting ozonated in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it gets cleaned, I put him back in there with the ozone machine, and gets a double hit. And then move it into the cabin part. That way you get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. I think
if you
want to
borrow it, man.
I do want to borrow it. I told you.
Can we bring it in?
As soon as you're done. Yeah, dude, we could do it while we're on the show.
Well, you can't. Like, you're not supposed to be in.
For hours.
No, but
he
means outside. He can put it in his car while we're doing the show.
Yeah,
and then
Yeah.
Yes.
I called my buddy Neil. I wanted to see if he had any stories like that.
He probably can't.
Yes.
Oh, is he there?
Yeah.
Hi, Neil.
I don't know if he there?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, we have to hit the button.
I'm checking. Neil. Hello. I don't know. I don't know. That
oh,
was
weird. Okay.
So was he willing to talk to us?
No, I was just going to put him on the show and ask him. He'll tell us something. You know.
Oh, you didn't tell him what it was?
No,
for?
I didn't even tell him why. I just called it.
Probably for the better. I mean,
you know, he's a character. He would have had a story. He's a good storyteller.
Give him the our 800, and he'll call.
Yeah, I'll tell him to call.
Yeah, let him call him back in. I'd like to hear some of those stories briefly.
Oh, sure, he's got great ones.
I
don't like telling stories like
that.
I don't mean like dead vibe. I'm just mean, you know, cleaning up. Stinky whatever.
So I was thinking about launching a podcast a while back with just a bunch of my firefighter friends. And I was like, you know, this would be kind of fun. And we just go in and tell little war stories kind of thing. But I don't know if people really want to hear that because there is some crazy stuff.
Everyone's going to go to the darkest place.
My favorite stuff is the guys who they have to use the bathroom so bad in the middle of a fire that they use the bathroom in the home while the house is on fire. I've never had to do that, but that to me is the most baller thing ever.
That's the most firefighter thing you can do.
It really is.
It really.
You're literally peeing on the fire.
No. They aren't peeing on the fire. They'll be in the bathroom and they'll take their, because you have to have, you're on air. So you take your SCBA off and then they will proceed to pull their stuff down.
Use the bathroom. Who does that?
Is that on the hot?
Yeah, if that's him on the hotline.
They'll use the bathroom and then finish the firefight after.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, what's up?
So we're doing the podcast and we're talking about cleaning up like smell with an ozone machine and stuff. And I'm like, my buddy Neil, isn't that what you did? Like you worked for the company that goes in and cleans up houses after fire and whatnot?
Yep, that's what I did for 10 years.
Do you have any stories about the worst, nastiest mess you ever cleaned up? That you can tell us?
I don't even know where to start, dude.
Is it pretty bad?
We had one that...
Can we put a disclaimer here?
Yeah.
For the four people who are still listening?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're about to hear.
Yeah, no, it's
so
fine.
Venture forward at your own risk.
All right, go ahead.
The worst one that we ever had was two older ladies that... from the outside of the house, everything looked pristine, but from the inside of the house, they were both incontinent and apparently didn't want people to know it. So they had like trash bags full of dirty Depends everywhere in their house.
Oh, wow.
And it got declared a biohazard by their insurance adjuster walked in the house and ran outside and threw up.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that. But
Patrick's the only one laughing. Like uncontrollably.
He declared it a biohazard.
I am slightly grinning, but not at the story.
Think about that. The insurance adjuster walked in the house and then ran out.
And puked?
Yeah. That's bad, man.
Yeah. And so then we had to clean their house up and everything, throw everything away. Everybody had to wear, you know, Tyvek suits. And this was for they had a busted pipe under the bathroom sink that flooded the house. But since it touched all of that, it turned into a Cat 3 water loss, and everything had to be disposed of that the water touched, cut out drywall, everything. And the best part about it was when we were putting the house back together, they called one day, and the guy I worked with, I was sitting next to him, and he's like talking to him on the phone, and they're like, hey, we know we had carpet before, but we'd really like to try to go back with ceramic tile if possible because we have allergies. And the guy I was working with literally dropped the phone when they said that.
You have allergies, yeah. Have you left allergies. Bags of pee and doo-doo in there. And I was going to say feces, but I was like, doo-doo sounds like a better word.
No, dookie. It's really not.
Yeah. I was going to say dookie, but I couldn't think of the word. I'm like, doo-doo.
But with ozone, though, when I first started working there, nobody warned me. So they sent me by to check on a job that they had an ozone machine running in, and nobody told me that you can't be in there with the ozone machine running. So I'm in there walking around, and I basically, you know, felt like I had pneumonia for about 3 days after that.
Wow.
So be careful if you're ozonating.
Yeah. Right. So if you're running an ozone machine, you got to – but I'll tell you what, we discovered when we opened our office in Lafayette, we had a rodent problem, and we discovered that anytime we saw signs of having rodents, all we had to do was run the ozone machine when we left there at night, and it would run them out of the building.
Oh, that's a good idea. Dude, okay. That's awesome. Remember I had a snake in my attic?
Oh, dude, that'll get rid of the snake.
That'll get rid of the snake, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. But the only thing is you can't be there. You can't have pets there.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Or anything like that. Everything has to be out of there that you don't want to leave or don't want to die.
I have a professional question I need to ask. Big D, do you know the capacity, like how big of a room or space?
Mine?
Yes.
No, I don't know. It's not a huge machine. I got it like for like $100.
But he's got a machine for about $100. It's an ozone machine. Would that have enough capacity to do a house?
I found it. It's
like what's a cubic feet?
Yeah, it should have a cubic feet rating of how many cubic feet it'll do. But yeah. But like, you know, the small ones like that, they're usually big enough to do a couple of rooms. So you just block off that couple of rooms and run the ozone machine. And we use them a lot for like when, you know, we work on people's houses that had been smokers for 20 years. Yeah. It'll get that smoke smell out of a house. It helps with pet odor. I mean, it just eats odor.
This says it's good for ozone for heavy-duty odor elimination coverage area of 1,300 square feet.
That'll work.
Okay.
So that's good for
I could do the attic. I could just put it in the attic. But then again, it might drive the snake into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know if I want to do that now. Never mind. Yeah, I had a snake skin I found in my attic, and I'm like, no, never again will I ever go in the attic ever. And then I was like thinking, well, if it's there, it's probably eating mice. And if it's eating mice, then we might have a bigger problem than a snake. So I don't know. The ozone machine might drive them out. I'm kind of thinking we can do this.
I lived in an apartment one time, and my bathroom fan quit working. I took it apart to see what was wrong with it, and there was a snake skin wrapped around the motor of the fan.
Okay.
We used to have that problem in Guam. We had those brown tree snakes, and they would get up there and knock out transformers on a regular basis.
Yeah. I don't doubt that. Hey, I'm really upset with you guys that y'all didn't explore Patrick's love child that I found at the Best Buy in Baton Rouge.
Oh, I didn't even show him that.
I saw that.
Neil found a guy.
Neil, didn't you send that to me?
Yeah, I did.
Of course you did.
I think he said it on my messenger, Facebook Messenger or something.
Supposedly he found this guy that looks like my twin brother, my 20-something-year-old twin brother. And I'm like, I don't see it.
He's 21 years old. He could possibly be your kid.
Put it close to the camera.
If you had a wild weekend in New Orleans, you possibly have a kid.
I kind of see that, man. I do.
I mean...
I kind of see it.
Well, did he have labored breathing? were you close enough to?
Oh, this is great. Hey, thanks, Neil. I'm thinking, boy, I'm so glad you get to come on the show and not tell a story about me getting knocked out by a girl at a party. That's the last time you were on the show. But come on and talk about how I might have a love child at a Best Buy in Baton Rouge. That's good.
This kid walked around the corner, and I thought it was Patrick walking around the corner. He walks like him. He moves his hands like him.
Does he?
I mean, it, I'm sorry, but it's Packard's kid.
I'm watching back on the video, and it really does kind of look like a relative. That is weird.
Yeah, I couldn't get enough video of him because we were almost done with the transaction.
I'm sure he thinks you're the weirdest dude that went in there that day because he's filming him checking you out.
Yeah,
at Best
I had
Buy.
Some pedo guy wanted to video me again.
Again.
Oh. He used the old, hey, you look like my friend line again.
So, yep. No, I showed you a picture of Patrick, and he's like, yeah, I guess we kind of do look related.
You really got into this. All right.
But, yeah. I mean, he looks like Patrick did when I met Patrick.
Before his beard turned gray?
Yeah, before everything turned gray.
Well, you were gray in high school, I thought, weren't you?
Yeah, but his beard,
but when
if
I
you
had,
remember.
My beard didn't used to be gray. And when I had long hair, I used to dye it black.
Oh, that's right.
And also, Patrick's beard was dark up until like 2 years ago.
Yeah, about 3-4 years ago, my beard was still black. This is new.
That's a good one. It looks really good. What's that?
Now he just looks distinguished.
Distinguished.
Yeah.
That's right.
Remarkably distinguished.
It's been at least 15 years since a woman knocked me out at a party. So.
How
Neil never tires of telling that story.
So you're at a. Nope. Tell us a story. I forget. Go ahead.
For those podcast listeners who've never heard this before.
For the first time, go ahead.
So, yeah, it was like a. Patrick, what was it? I guess it was your going away party, wasn't it?
I had come back. It's like 2004, and I had come back to visit. Okay. It was somebody's birthday.
Yeah. So we're at the house, and wasn't it your old house?
No, it was Bryce's house.
Okay, it was Bryce's house. And, there was a large Oriental lesbian girl there. And
I don't think you can say that.
I love all the descriptions.
I don't think you can say any of that.
Very... Very insincere.
I appreciated all the details.
Okay, go on.
But Patrick was talking to her. Patrick was it was probably 10 whiskey Patrick that night.
Oh yes, it definitely was.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Patrick just like leaned over and licked her on the side of the face.
What?
I don't remember why.
Don't
she
why.
Said
a very
something.
Kiefer Sutherland move.
Yeah, she said something smart. You know, and that was my reaction to it. I don't, you know, and then go ahead, Neil.
I mean, I was across the room. I wasn't there, but I saw him lean over and lick her on the face. And I mean, like she reared back to Oklahoma and just swung with everything she had.
Patrick,
he spun all the way around.
Like on a video game.
Oh, yeah, man.
Glass Joe or whatever.
He spun all the way around on his feet with his hand on his cheek, looked at me, and was like, dude, she just effing hit me. And then he just, whoa.
I stand by the fact that I was drunk and the fact that I spun around is what made me go down. It was the drunk spin that brought me to the ground.
Right.
But, yeah, she definitely knocked the living crap out of me.
So do you remember coming to? Who was
I wasn't knocked out. I stood up, and I was like, I think we should leave.
Before she took another shot.
God, but it was me, and then it was Mona was there, too. Me and Mona took you home after that.
Oh, yeah.
Or took you wherever. I wonder if Mona remembers this story.
Oh, everybody remembers.
I'm sure everyone that was there remembers this story.
I'm sad I wasn't there just for that. Well, that's what you get because, I mean, licking someone's face is never a good idea.
24. What are you going to do?
It was 20. But, you were 24, and times were much different back
times
then,
are different.
Too.
Boy, she reared back to Oklahoma.
I am so glad she smacked you, and I'm just sad that it's not on video.
Oh, you know, that's the great thing about it having happened so long ago is that people didn't have cell phone cameras out.
Nobody had camera phones then.
There's no Ring video doorbell footage of it happening. Thank goodness.
Gosh, all the dumb stuff.
But, Patrick, I was talking about you yesterday. Me and Julie are going to see Rodney Carrington tonight.
Oh, wow. Where at?
At LaBerge in Baton Rouge, and I was like, this is the first time I've been to see Rodney Carrington that Patrick didn't give me the tickets.
this is the first time you've had to pay.
Yeah, that's how long Neil and I have been friends, going back to like 2000?
Yeah,
20, 21 years.
Yeah,
because we went to see him at Bear Creek.
Oh, wow, Bear Creek, all right.
Remember, we did that show.
We went to see him at the River Center.
Yeah,
That's right.
But
I remember he was at the hotel. He did at the like the Ramada Inn in the ballroom. We put that show on too.
Yeah,
I remember.
He
that.
Was. I remember we went golfing one time and where Bubba was swinging and Rodney said, "You have the most violent swing because Bubba can knock a ball."
Oh yeah.
400 feet.
400 feet.
Yard. Yeah, feet. But Rodney carries a fake rubber snake in his bag. So when he's when he's playing golf and someone's out hitting or whatever in the fairway, he will go back and he'll drop it back behind the cart so that when they go put their club back, they walk up and they're on their snake's right there at their feet. And so he goes, "Watch this." So Bubba's up there, hits a ball, goes crazy. We have no idea where it is. And Bubba walks back to the back to put his club up. There's that snake. Bubba looks down, picks it up with his hand, and throws it at Rodney. Rodney goes, "Son of a..."
He was so disappointed.
I go, "Dude, that's a homo boy. He's not afraid of snakes."
You grow up where I am afraid of snakes. I will still throw one. But I mean, you grow up in the swamp and you're going to be snake adverse. They're everywhere.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for letting us call you in the middle of lunch.
Absolutely.
All right, dude. Later. Have a good weekend.
Hey, can you tell us what was that lady like again? Your description.
Please don't.
I had to cut this short. I have to go get my car because they're gonna. My car is done.
Yeah.
The one that got hit.
You're returning them a rental car that's going to smell better than when you got it.
I'm going to tell them. I go, "Listen, the car stunk so bad, I had to go and buy an ozone machine and use it on there. So how about that?
That way I wouldn't smell like it permeated into my clothing."
And they're going to go, "Okay, thanks."
Well, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, all right.
That's about right.
So this
is the last podcast until you guys get back from vacation.
So after the 4th of July.
Yeah. So, nice talking to everybody. We'll see you
For those of you who are like, "What can I listen to now?" Start at the beginning. Listen to them back through all the way through. We have so many people that listen to the podcast from the beginning, from the first episode on. And also something we're working on is getting Patrick back into his 5 whiskey thing because, as Neil said, you know, sometimes 10 whiskey Patrick comes out.
Ooh, that's
and those
dangerous.
Stories are pretty priceless. So we got to get Patrick back to doing his podcast.
I'd like to hear more of that, honestly. I would actually listen to your dumb podcast if you did that.
All right. I'll be more of it. It's coming soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with us, and we'll talk with you soon.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. That's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day.
Rared back to Oklahoma.
Brantley Gilbert.
What's going on, brother? Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you.
Dude, we're fans of this new song. The worst country song of all time.
Can I tell you, I made a huge mistake because I'm a dummy. On social media the other day, it might have been Instagram or something like that, I saw either it was Brantley or Toby or somebody might have, I don't know who it was, they posted about Red Solo Cup is the worst song of all time. And they were going back and forth. I'm like, I love all these songs. I didn't realize that you guys were pushing the worst song of all time, and it was a bit. I totally fell for it.
Hey, man. We're just teeing this thing up to put it right down the middle of the fairway and make history.
So how's this song come about? You guys are hanging out and what?
We were actually in Texas on a writer's retreat. We were shooting some hogs. We were shooting everything that moved. But one of the sessions we sat down, it was Hardy and I and Hunter Phelps and Will Weatherly. And Hardy said, "Man, I've got this idea in my phone." He said, "I'm just throwing it out there. It's probably nothing to it, but it's the worst country song of all time." And we all laughed and kind of kicked it back and forth and, you know, jokingly threw some lines out. And the next thing you know, we're writing this thing, man, and the rest is history in the making.
I love the song. I love the song. And a long time ago, you posted something on socials about, you know, you were rocking out in the studio. You're like, "I can't wait for you guys to hear this." And I was like, "Man, how is Brantley Gilbert so excited about this album? What is he doing that's going to sound so different?" And now we know.
hey, and this ain't all, brother. This is all for now.
Oh, okay.
My favorite part of that is when you hear Toby talking about, you like that saxophone?
Okay, so whose call was that doing a sax solo?
Oh, it's so great.
Well, let's just say we were in the middle of writing, and Will Weatherly sent out to a couple of players he knows, and it was just simple. The saxophone guy hit us back before the flute guy did, and he won the race.
So what were the options? Saxophone, flute, what else?
I think somebody threw in a trombone.
Oh, that's pretty good. Trombone would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good. What else you got working with music?
Man, I got to tell you, we've spent past several months putting this project together. And, you know, we're kind of taking a different approach. In the past, it's been we put out big albums with 20-something songs on them that, you know, tell a story and this, that, and other. And, man, it's kind of, I was always a fan of that, a huge fan, and I still am. But you guys know, the way people consume music is just so different now.
Yeah.
That a lot of times when you put those big records out, you end up burning a lot of songs and just, you know, people don't hear them. So we're kind of taking a different approach, to releasing this album. And we took a different approach in creating it. And it's just it's a little bit different for us, but it's exciting, man. You know, anytime you take on something new, there's a little bit of unknown there, but we're excited about what we've got put together and what we're continuing to work on. And, you know, this is one just to kind of tongue-in-cheek, get us off to a rowdy start and, you know, hopefully make some people smile, man. The climate of our society right now is so serious. I just, you know, really am excited to give some folks something to laugh about.
I love the fact that this is going to be one of those songs that it's, you know, it's unlike, serious songs. This is going to be kind of a family tradition type thing. Like, you know, in concert, people are just going to be so into it. And have you figured out, like, what are you going to do during the saxophone solo for the live shows? How are you, what's going to happen?
You know, if you're going to go big, you might as well go as big as it gets. You know, so we threw it out and played it, and Bill Clinton came out and rocked the saxophone solo for
him. You wish.
Yeah, it wasn't actually Bill Clinton. It was my head of security in a Bill Clinton mask.
Yeah, but it's close enough.
So during the concert, did you have to hire a saxophone player to go on tour?
No, not at all. We're cheating a little bit.
Okay. All right.
I don't blame you. I would too. Well,
everybody else does it. And it's the only time in our set we cheat.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, congratulations. It is exactly what I think America needs, a release, a fun, great song that you can sing along with. And Bubba's right. This thing's going to be
it's a future
anthem.
It's a future classic.
It is.
It really is.
It is.
Hey, we're going to make history with this one, boys, in the worst way.
In the worst way.
Brantley Gilbert, everybody. Make sure you check it out. It's called The Worst Country Song of All Time with Toby Hardy and Brantley Gilbert. Brantley, be safe, brother. We love you.
You got it, brother. Appreciate y'all having me this morning.
See you.
Bye. Later, man.
All right, see y'all.